Welcome to Zeta Global Radio. I am your host, Lainey Savante Quirk, and I am so absolutely touched, thrilled, and honored to be showcasing this very special show. It's incredibly personal for me, and I always want to share in topics and discussion that affect me, affect what may be happening to others. And as I come to realize through this process, and this topic today is about grief and loss, but mostly recovery and hope and triumph. And there's no better person that I can say has brought me through this, and she didn't know me, but it's because she's been doing this as a leader in the areas of grief, loss, and recovery, Carol Brody Fleet. She is a multi-award-winning author of the number one ranked new release, When Bad Things Happen to Good Women. You most know her from her Widows Wear Stilettos, which has been absolutely taking the world by storm. She has an incredible Facebook page that has several women who are total goddesses who've been through this experience. You've seen her on Good Morning America. She is incredible with the stories that we see her on the Huffington Post. So besides USA Today, New York Times, and Forbes, please welcome to Zeta Global Radio, Carol Brody Fleet.
Hi, Lainey. Thank you for that lovely introduction.
Absolutely. And I thought with not only my personal story, that I would bring on my bestie, Miss Akashiana, who's going to join us because she too has experienced loss. And so we are going to be the widow duet sharing in this journey with you for an hour and representing different perspectives on the professional world that you now like carry the torch for so many. So Akashiana, welcome as well to the show.
Thank you so much, Lainey. I appreciate that. And Carol, it's so wonderful to meet you.
It's wonderful to meet you too.
So Carol, tell people who don't know about this cosmic empire that you are doing to support so many. Tell us about your journey and what has brought you to this path.
Well, I will take you all the way back to 1998. At that point in time, my husband, Mike, was a 28-year veteran of the Santa Ana, California Police Department and very high-profile police officer. He set national records in the seizure of drugs and drug money. Many of those records stand to this day. At that time, I had just left the legal profession. I was a paralegal by education and degree to pursue a career in the beauty and cosmetics field. And if you've ever seen a picture of me, you can see why I might be successful in the cosmetics field. I was excited because my cosmetics became tax deductible. Again, if you saw my picture, you would understand why. And I was faring very well in my new endeavor, and our daughter, Kendall, was 9 years old in 1998. And that's where we were in life when we were thrown a curveball. And it was the curveball of a lifetime when Mike was diagnosed with ALS, that's more commonly known as Lou Gehrig's disease. And that diagnosis brought an end immediately to the life that we knew and nurtured and planned for and built. And it started us on a new path. It was a path that did take us through darkness, but it was also a path where we eventually found light again. And that is how I wound up, most accidentally. Nobody plans to be a lightning bearer for a bereaved community. Nobody sets out in life doing that. But when Mike was toward the end of his illness, just about 2 months before he died, he was expressing some of his final wishes. And one of the things that he said was, you've got to find a way to take our experience and use it to the good and help somebody else. And I couldn't figure out what he meant at that time. I really had no idea. And 5 years later, the mission became clear that I had gone through many of the trials and tribulations that both of you have experienced and may be experiencing still.
Yes.
And recovered pretty well, I'd felt, as had my daughter. And I thought, you know, nobody is talking to the widowed community in a way that they need to be spoken to. And I started making notes of all the things that I'd been looking for and couldn't find. And what I wound up with was the table of contents to Widows Wear Stilettos.
And how did you come up with that name? I mean, because it's so, I mean, I could say, I mean, I'm like, what a badass. Like, she is just getting the community. Because when you think of widows, at least in my mind, prior to now my experience, I had thought of somebody who was older, who'd been married for 50 years. And then Jerry Lynn Weinstein Matthews, a great social worker here in New Mexico, sent me your Facebook page. And what was the expression? If it's been 7 minutes, 7 days, you tell me that that quote stuck with me. I'm like, yep, I'm a widow.
Well, and you know why I said that is because, you know, unfortunately, there are people out there that know not that they know not. And one of the problems that we encounter is the casting of judgment. And for some reason, there are people that think that if you're not married, quote, long enough, now there's no number attached to long enough. I don't know what that number is. Get back to me if you figure it out. Or if you're not married at all, that your widowhood somehow doesn't count. And to that end, I say, A, if you lost the person that you expected to spend the rest of your life with, it counts. You're widowed. Period. It can be 5 minutes. It can be 50 years. It can be not at all.
There are
so many instances where people are together for decades and aren't married. Our friends in the LGBT community who aren't permitted to marry in so many areas still today.
Yes.
You know, we're gaining on that, and that's wonderful. But what if you didn't get to march down the aisle? In the new book that you mentioned, Lainey, coming up, When Bad Things Happen to Good Women, there's a woman featured in there who literally lost her fiancé while she was standing there in her gown and veil waiting for him to get to the church. He was broadsided in an auto accident on his way to the wedding. Are we going to really look at her and say, you don't count? You're not widowed? And that's where that quote came from.
In the title, Widows Wear Stilettos, what is, like, when you came up with that, I mean, that's like, what do you think, Akashian, of that name? Woo!
Believe it or not, well, first of all, I think it sounds better than We're Here Too. Believe it or not, that title actually came from a moment at Mike's funeral. He had a very large, grand police officer funeral, very traditional. And, you know, when you're dealing with a long-term infirmity or illness, you're not thinking widowhood, you're thinking survival. And I know Kashiana is going to relate to this. You're thinking about surviving. You don't think about widowhood. So I really never thought about widow. And like you, Lainey, like you mentioned, when you mention that word to me, it's somebody older. They're wearing black. They're retired. They have a dozen grandchildren. They go on cruises. That's, you know, my idea of widowhood. Well, as the Honor Guard was preparing the American flag to present to the widow, that's when it dawned on me, I'm a widow. And the very next thought that came into my head was, I can't be a widow. I wear 5-inch heels. That's impossible. Huh. I drink martinis. I listen to heavy metal music. And I know all the words to the Rocky Horror Picture Show. That's not a widow. And that is where I very first learned that there's a stereotype, there's an image that needs to be broken. Because we are here too. We have a voice. We count. Not all widows got to be married for decades. Not all widows have a dozen grandchildren. Not all of us got to see our golden years, our twilight years. Our spouses are not going to get to see their child's milestones. And Widows Wear Stilettos was my way of conveying hope and optimism and, maybe even a smile or two. Because it's okay to cope with this very dark experience with a little bit of humor.
That's terrific. Well, in the next segment, we're going to have Akashiana share her story, and we just found out off air that there was definitely some synergy here, so we're excited about that. And meanwhile, in this last minute here, to learn more about Carol Brody Fleet, you can obviously go to her Facebook page at Widows Wear Stilettos, but that's also the name of your website, is that correct?
That's correct, widowswearstilettos.com.
Oh, terrific. So again, we are here today talking about grief recovery, loss, hope, and triumph, and how widows wear stilettos and why bad things happen to good women with Carol Brody Fleet. You are listening to Lainey Savante Quirk on Zeta Global Radio. Stick around for this very encouraging, wonderful show. We'll talk about it all. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Join us in Santa Fe on Saturday, June 20th to celebrate Pride through the power of film. You're cordially invited to a double feature of Matt Shepard is a Friend of Mine and the movie Pride. This event is a fundraiser for the Santa Fe Film Festival and the Santa Fe Human Rights Alliance. Finger foods, cocktails, a dance party, silent auction, and so much more. Tickets are going really fast, so log on to SantaFeFilmFestival.com and get them now. Syndicone Media LLC, a proud supporter of Pride and the advancement of film, music, and the arts.
Attention ZGR listeners, are you ready to use your intuition through the power of numbers? You've heard her interviewed on Zeta Global Radio. Now join best-selling author and intuitive numerologist Ruth Dreher for her upcoming teleclasses. Registration has begun and the class is open to a very limited number of students. Any level of experience with numerology or none at all is welcomed. Students will work directly with Ruth Dreher to learn her beliefs and philosophies in this ancient system of Pythagoras, the father of numerology. Classes include meditations and discussions and prepare you for the next level of the Master Intuitive course. Enjoy this opportunity to learn from one of the most internationally known numerologists of our time. You may learn more about Ruth Dreher by visiting cybernumbers.com. For more information and to register, please call 903-534-4873.
Do you want to develop skills that can help others to heal the past, correct the present, and embrace the future? Would you like to turn your passion for guiding others on their spiritual path into a profession? Dolores Cannon, pioneering researcher, author of 19 books, and renowned healer and speaker, refined her unique training method of advanced hypnotherapy over the past 4.5 decades. Today, Quantum Healing Hypnosis Therapy Technique is the world's fastest growing accredited training course. Level 1 is available online now. It's easy to learn, affordable, and effective. Level 2 is the advanced module. QHHT has trained and certified over 6,000 practitioners. Take advantage of our exclusive offer for ZGR listeners only. If you register today for Level 1 online certification program, you'll receive a 10% discount by using code ZETA2015. That's ZETA2015. This offer is valid until June 31st, 2015. For more information and to enroll, please visit DoloresCannon.com/learn-QHHT-online. And don't forget to use our exclusive discount code ZETA2015.
And I am along here with an amazing good woman. I call her the goddess of all women, Miss Akashiana. So welcome, Akashiana. Thank you for being here as well.
Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here and just share a little bit of this topic that Carol has brought forward, and it's really near and dear to my heart as I was widowed in 2004.
So let's talk about this. I won't say ironic because everything is divinely perfect, and we just shared in the few minutes before we got started on our show today about the similarities in your experiences. And so tell us a little bit about your journey, Kashiana, and your process so far.
Thank you. I just was really I thought how perfect it was, how Carol shared her story, and the mirror that is almost the perfect reflection of that for me was I was married to my husband, Mark. He was a career military officer, a lieutenant colonel in the Air Force, and we had two children, 9 and 11 years old when he passed, but in 1997 he started having what they called fasciculations in his left arm, and he was a golfer and this amazing athlete. He would ride Centurion bicycles. He was a tennis player, rugby player, triathlete, and just the absolute epitome of healthfulness, and they didn't know what was happening. They thought it was, another disease called brachial plexopathy. And I think, as Carol alluded, they try to rule out many things because Lou Gehrig's disease, ALS, is such a, terminal disease, if you will. And so I think they were waiting to the last minute to diagnose him, but we took care of him for 7 years, and it was in 2002 when he left the military and retired, and 2 years later he passed at the VA hospital in Palo Alto.
Have you, since then, I mean, I know right afterwards, and we didn't know each other at that point, but that process, and Carol, you can speak to that a lot, is really such a tenuous time. And what you had mentioned before, Carol, about survival, is that something you experienced, is really...
Absolutely. First, I do want to mention to the listeners that Tashiana and I lost our husbands the same way. We had no idea before we met today that we had lost our husbands in the same manner. This is not the ALS show. This was a complete coincidence, which I'm going to double down on that, Kashiana, and tell you that Mike's symptoms also started in his left arm. And it started after a horse riding accident. He was also a member of the mounted unit on the police department, and he was training the horse on trail to get her ready for the holidays. And the horse spooked and spun and ran him into a tree, and he took a branch to the head, and he was knocked off his horse and knocked unconscious. And he just, as most of these cowboy types do, they brush themselves off and they go on. A week after his accident, he started having the fasciculations in his left arm. Mm. So there are no such thing as coincidences, but wow.
Yeah.
That's really something. So we did lose our husbands in a similar fashion. But for every widow out there, there is a unique story. I always encourage widowed not to compare themselves to each other, and that happens when you see somebody doing something a little bit sooner than you, or they're waiting a little bit longer, and you start to question yourself. Tashiana and I lost our husbands the exact same way, or to the exact same disease. But our journeys leading up to that point and since then are unique because we're unique. So you have to own your own journey. And yes, when you get this diagnosis, there is no treatment. There is no experimental. There is no surgery. There's no let's try this. It is a terminal diagnosis, and you know that. And you go into survival mode. It's just getting through the next day, sometimes getting through the next hour. You don't make long-term plans because you know that there is no long-term for you. That's why I mentioned that your life,
Carol,
changes.
I think that, Carol, is so profound because what it did for me, it brought me into the moment. Everything was precious, every moment, every conversation, because in the last few months, Mark wasn't able to speak because of the disease was in the bulbar muscles, that
right.
and the control, there was no breath that could, the diaphragm was affected, so he couldn't even force words out. And so everything seemed to be in a standstill, and so the moments just were really special and precious. And having two children, you know, one of the things that Mark, he didn't want the children to know that he was dying, and that was the hardest part for me to, you know, to walk in that realm of, you know, this is practical. I have to be very practical, and I'm really trying to honor his wishes and take care of the children. And so all this juggling that happens, but, you know, just being in the grace of that, you know, that flow. And sometimes it wasn't graceful, you know, it was difficult, as we all know, we're still human.
Right. Exactly. And being a caregiver and a breadwinner and a parent, all at the same time, it is incredibly demanding. That is, I think, an understatement. You can't even decide if you want to get a cheeseburger, because that disease is dictating every single move you make in a day. And you, even when you so precariously think that you have things balanced, all you need is one bad, you know, a respiratory crisis. Or with Mike, he fell a lot at the beginning of his illness. Mm. Well, he's 6'3", 210 pounds, and I'm not. So anytime he fell, we would have to call the paramedics. And you are trying so hard to keep some sense of normalcy, mostly for your kids.
Yes.
You're trying to, you know, let's keep up with the activities and schoolwork and homework and keep some semblance of a routine in your house. And the routine is, there is no routine.
Mm-hmm.
And you learn to embrace that, too.
Do you think that in your two cases, you knew the prognosis was going to be terminal? Is that correct? Do I have that part right? Because I wonder, my question will be to you both, really, is do you have time to plan what life you think in your mind may be like after there's this transition?
May I speak for that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Go ahead.
I remember my husband was an avid golfer, and so he started feeling it in his left arm, because when you're golfing, you're left-hand dominant. If you're right-handed, you're left-hand dominant in that game. And we were sitting and watching golf, and this was probably a year before he died. I said, when you die, how does that look for you? What do you want? What are your wishes? And he said, if I die early, which I don't think is going to happen, I want to be buried with my father, cremated and buried with my father. If I live out to be an elder and an old man, then I would like to be buried here in California. And that was all I had, the information that I had at that moment. But by the grace of God, I was able to receive that information so that I can carry out those wishes. But I felt that, you know, we need to ask these questions, and not in a morbid way. This is about, you know, planning, because we don't know what's going to happen in the next moment, you know, in the next 10 years, 50 years.
Thank you.
So I feel like, you know, have these conversations that are, you know, that may seem, you know, death and dying is part of living. And as I said before, you know, dying is the doorway to living. And so one of the things is to have these conversations. And I was so grateful. And that moment in time that we were sitting in our beautiful home in SoCal, California, and I asked that question while we were watching golf, it gave me, you know, something to then take forward, tangible. It's something tangible.
Thank you. Carol?
Wow. it's just so interesting to listen to Kashiana, because so many of the experiences were so similar. First of all, we are a death-denying society. That's just it. Nobody wants to talk about it, because if we don't talk about it, it won't happen, except it does. And what not talking about it does is it keeps us ill-prepared. That's why, you know, 10 years ago, when I first started on the Widow's Wear Stilettos journey, publishers were very reluctant to touch the project at all, because it was depressing, because it was sad, because nobody wants to talk about death or dying. Okay. And what happens if we don't talk about it? It stops. You know, it's easier now.
It's safer when people want to go and hide from it, and you're saying no way.
No, because we can't hide from it. It's going to happen. And wouldn't you derive some comfort, at the very least, by knowing there's at least one other person out there who's walked the same walk, who is convinced they're all alone, who doesn't know which way to turn, who is sitting on their couch in their flannel print penguin footed pajamas, that was me, not knowing what to do and not particularly caring what to do. And that is at least what we've done in the last 10 years, is started a dialogue. We've mobilized a community. We can reach out and say, you're not alone. You don't have to do this by yourself. There's nothing wrong with you for feeling how you feel. It's teaching not just widowed but bereaved of all manner to take control and ownership of your healing journey. Really take control. Quit taking polls. Quit living according to other people's opinion and own your path in life. And things get a lot easier after that.
Well said. And when we come back, we are going to have a different perspective. It's actually going to be mine because it's a little and a lot, but unique, but the same as Akashiana and Carol. And I'm really excited about that because there's all walks of life, but as women, we share in that unity of sisterhood. And I hope this show can be a greater platform worldwide. I don't know if you knew this, Carol, but we're in almost 50 countries now of people listening to Zeta Global Radio. So whoever can be touched by this, we are united as one, and this show hopefully will provide perspective on that. You're listening to Zeta Global Radio. We're blessed here today to have Carol Brody Fleet, author of Widows Wear Stilettos and her new book, When Bad Things Happen to Good Women, here on Zeta Global Radio, along with Akashiana. We will be right back with so much more to discuss. Thank you for listening.
Hello, this is Akashiana. I invite you to join us for a deep immersion of self-love and purification in the sacred waters of Costa Rica in April 2016. This is a deeper awakening into a space to remember, a time to reunite, and an experience of sacred exploration within divine you. We invite you through Zeta Global Radio for a special savings of 20% on our next Sacred Exploration. Sacred Explorations is part of the Path of Samadhi. It takes you on an experiential, spiritual journey to the core of your being.
The tiny homes movement seems to be exploding all over the world. People are choosing to downsize their homes into more affordable, mobile versions of their dream homes. World-famous painter and craftsman Michael Ostosky is also owner of Roadrunner Homes, unique, one-of-a-kind land yachts that are ready to hit the road when you are. Be sure and take a look at some of the Roadrunner Homes for sale at facebook.com/groups/Roadrunner Tiny Homes. Custom orders are welcome. Remember, with Roadrunner Homes, home is where you park it.
Hi, this is Andrea Williams, publisher of Natural Awakenings magazine in New Mexico, your monthly health and wellness publication. We're excited about our June issue filled with so many uplifting events in our community. We feature an interview with visionary leader Barbara Marks Hubbard, tell you how to get your chi on at the Healing Chi Revolution, and share an article about Ama, the humanitarian leader well known for her healing hugs. Pick up your June magazine for details about these and many other events, plus more local news and inspirational articles, now at newsstands in Albuquerque, Santa Fe, and Taos, or online at naturalawakeningsnnm.com. For inquiries about advertising your events or services, please call 505-999-1319. Have a happy and inspirational month of June.
Welcome back to Zeta Global Radio on this incredible day here on Saturday. We are wishing you all a beautiful weekend and thanking you for being here and taking the time to listen to this very, you could say, tough subject, but it's an important one. We were just sharing here with Akashiana and Carol Brody Fleet how people like to brush death under the rug and put it aside, especially when you're younger. You think that it's not something that's in your realm. And in our world, we've all experienced, and this is the world now that Carol, I would say, triumphs and showcases and shares and stewards for so many people who are now widows. And 6 months ago, I experienced that completely blindsided, I would say, when my beloved Tommy at the time committed suicide just before Thanksgiving. And we knew that he suffered from depression. I didn't have any clue as to what level, and certainly unbeknownst to me and my daughters, when I got the phone call, it was quite a startling experience, and I'm still in the process. And it really woke up my world to really so much. I say it's like the great mystic library that has came to my world, that I've learned much greater depth about myself, about the people around me, about what's important, about death and dying in general, and how incredibly important it is when you don't know how to even function, how to have the support around you, and particularly your brothers and sisters who unite and who aren't afraid of death, and particularly suicide, which is such a taboo subject, but you're seeing it in the headlines left and right. Robin Williams, I mean, it goes on and on, and we're seeing it a lot. So I'm now part of a new community, and my dear friend Jerry Lynn had again given me the Facebook page where I got to meet Carol. So I've been really honored to have you in my life, Carol, and as much as, and I'm probably one of many. So thank you. Thank you. So I wanted to talk about it because I wasn't in a long-term marriage that went on, and people, like we said in the beginning of the show, but it doesn't matter. When you have been affected, you're down for the count.
Of course. Let's spend some time on suicide in particular. Obviously, our membership has a great many suicide survivors. In my own family, we had two relatives commit suicide in 3 years. And Lainey, I believe I told you this. My precious goddaughter, 6 months ago, lost a dear friend and work colleague publicly to suicide. And here is something. If we are a death-denying society, let's put the stigma of suicide on top of that, because suicide survivors really, really have a challenging road to hoe. And that is more stigmata that we need to get rid of. It is among the most sensitive and misunderstood types of loss, I believe. It's so complex. And you know, I think the primary issue with suicide is of course guilt. I get so many widowed will say, you know, I should have seen the signs. How did I not see the signs? Well, you know, sometimes there aren't any signs. They're just not there. You know, you mentioned Robin Williams. My goddaughter's father was one of his best friends.
Oh,
and there were no signs. Robin Williams was being very, he was busy being Robin Williams. When he was on stage, he was very, you know, how he is. And when he's off stage, he was he was quieter and sometimes shy even. But he was being who he was. And then one day, it just hurt too much. You know, I always say that when you're talking about widowhood, especially when you are talking about widowhood versus divorce, which is a great debate. That's another show, I think.
Yes.
and I will always say that nobody who's widowed experienced a situation where someone chose to leave the marriage. And I will have people challenging me on that when it comes to suicide. And I still maintain that nobody chose to leave that marriage. For the person who commits suicide, for whatever reason, it was too painful for them to stay. They didn't choose to lose you. Your beloved did not choose to lose you, Lainey, to leave you. It was too painful for him to remain. And that pain was greater than his desire to stay. It is a sadly permanent solution to what more often than not is a temporary situation. And then after the guilt, we have the questions. Why, of course. Why? How? You know, and you know, just if I could just talk to them for 5 minutes, I could fix this. It's the shoulda, woulda, coulda. And what we try to do for suicide survivors is help them reach a place of peace. And part of that peace is embracing the reality that there are questions that you may never receive the answers to, because so many of us don't understand what's going on in the mind of somebody who makes this choice. But you can't take it personally. You can't take it onto yourself. What is going on in their mind is so big. It's bigger than they are. It's certainly bigger than we are, the survivors.
Well, you go through so much in your world. I think with all of us sisters who are grieving, your world completely shuts down. You're never the same person again. And I tell people all the time, and they ask, how are you doing? It's like, it's just not something that ever, I think, goes away. And you two tell me, it's like, does it get easier? It's always a special place, I think, that's just is always going to be there.
You know, there was a widow years ago I've quoted this, I think, in a Huffington Post article someplace. She said, it doesn't get easier, it gets different. Nice. And I think Kashiana would agree with me. It's not like, you know, you wake up one day and ta-da, I'm all better now. It is a process, and that process, you're starting to ease back into life, and the life is different. Yes, there does come a time when you're not crying every single second of every single hour of every single day. But the journey is different. You're not the same person.
It's what you're talking about, Carol. I just want to add to that is it is different. And I think it's there is peace. I have come to a place of peace. However, what reminds me is what you said earlier is, you know, Mark is not going to be there to walk his daughter down the aisle. He was not there for her graduation of high school. He will not be there for her firstborn child. And, you know, that brings that all back, you know, that sense.
It does.
It does.
Those milestone moments.
Mm-hmm.
I've never forgiven Mike for leaving me to teach Kendall, our daughter, how to drive. I don't think I will ever forgive him that. I will be talking to him about that.
I love your humor. You gotta laugh at some of this.
He stuck me with that, and believe me, I have made the deal. I said, Fleet, I will be talking to you about this. But yeah, the first time that Kendall got in a limousine and went off to a prom, when she won a national cheerleading championship in 2007, and he wasn't there. He too did not see her high school graduation or college or any of these milestones. And that's not going to change. And what I do is I permit myself the emotion that I'm feeling at the moment, whether it's tears, or more often than not, smiling through tears, and then coming right back to the moment of celebration or the moment of whatever it needs to be. About a year and a half after Mike died was Kendall's bat mitzvah, and we tried as hard as we could to make it a time of great celebration, as it should be, and not have his loss cast a pall over the situation. But no matter what you do, and we did do some lovely inventive things, there's still a big hole that's supposed to be filled by Mike Fleet. And there's this big Mike Fleet hole wherever you go, and it's always going to be there. But when you embrace that and you make it a part of you and you don't listen to people who say things like, well, aren't you over it yet, Lainey? You know, it does become easier. Yes, it's different, but it does become easier. You will find peace. And the tears do come through smiles and warm memories. And you embrace that too. You know, when people say don't be sad, why not?
Absolutely. Well, there is some beauty in this, and it's interesting. My dear beloved Howard, who has been my sweet bestie for 4 years, and he just, when I got the call, he was just there. He just stood in his stellar watchtower protector and just really held me and made sure that I got through this. And still, and after 4 years of this wonderful kinship we've had, I think this absolutely opened up. It's almost like Tommy's like, I'm leaving, but I'm going to leave you in incredibly capable hands. And unbeknownst to both of us, we fell into relationships since this tragedy has happened. And we've been able to share in this journey. And if I have a moment where I'm crying about Tommy, Howard's just really present for me. And so there's been an absolute beautiful journey that's come from this. And then at the same time, people are like, well, isn't it too soon? Is it not? It's like, no, this has been absolutely divinely perfect how this has come forward for us. And Tommy's a part of our life, and it's not one or the other. I know that you've mentioned something too. You don't stop loving someone because you love someone else. I read that in your Huffington Post article. Oh, I'm incorporating the love of...
You know more about what I've written than I do.
Well, I'm a good study, and I think I'm a walking model now for these experiences. So it's like, yes, I will always love Tommy, and I embrace my new life with Howard.
And that is such an important lesson.
I was just going to ask, Lainey, I think you read my mind about, you know, this conversation, because I actually fell in love after a four-year relationship with my husband's doctor. He was a chiropractor, and just his caring of the family. And I actually had to move out of the neighborhood because there was such judgment and almost like a sense of, you aren't mourning for a year. You're not in black. You're not, you know, you're wearing stilettos. You're looking happy and joyful, because when Mark departed, you know, like you said, there's a big hole, but there's also this sense of there was purpose. There was purpose in the relationship, and we brought these two beautiful beings into the world. And I was judged as, oh, you've moved on too fast. And I think that is probably very common in the world and the realm of widowhood is, you know, we move. We need to move on if that's our greatest desire, if that's our path. And, you know, please do not judge that unless you walk in those shoes.
I want to get Carol's reaction and thoughts on this. We need to take a break, but when we come back, let's talk more about the judgment in this whole process and journey. Thank you for listening to Zeta Global Radio. We'll be right back.
Have you ever wondered what your personal path or world purpose is? Did you know your life blueprint has been in place well before you were born? Numerology is a code that translates everything that is happening in your life. It identifies and describes current and future events that pertain just to you. Renowned numerologist Ruth Dreher is available for sessions worldwide. Either log on to cybernumbers.com or call 903-534-4873 to book your appointment now. Mention code ZGR and receive 10% off your session.
Hi, I'm Sarah Jones, wellness advocate with doTERRA. Happy to be here on Zeta Global Radio. My special offer to all ZGR listeners is a lemon oil and A to Z essential oil guide when you visit mydoterra.com/Sarah Jones and purchase $30 or more. I'm looking forward to supporting your journey to health and wellness.
Hi, I'm Mindy, owner of Differently Designed Custom Stationery and Premier Invitations. Your invitation to your special event is the very first impression your guests will receive. Let's make it spectacular together. Whether it's a major gala, fundraiser, art opening, or social event, Differently Designed will work with you worldwide to design a unique and memorable look and feel that is exclusively yours. Visit us at differentlydesigned.com. Mention you've heard us on Zeta Radio and receive 10% off your first order of $100 or more.
Hi, this is Michael Ostaski, and you're listening to Zeta Global Radio.
Thank you so much for being here on this incredible storytelling hour of hope, love, grief, recovery, loss. We're talking to Carol Brody Fleet and Ikashiana and myself, really, who are all journeyed as widows of different persuasions, but all in one accord. And we are in the middle of discussion talking about the judgment of, is it too soon in some people's minds? So we were really talking about how different experiences of people who have never walked in our own stilettos can have opinions. And I'm not losing sleep over them. What do you think, Carol, about the story of judgments that we've both experienced?
Do you really want to pull at that thread?
I know we need another couple shows for that, but I just felt like it, like here, you feel like you're the only one, and then you go and read your Huffington Post article and you're like, nope, I'm one of many.
And here's the problem with judgment and the people who cast it. They're casting judgment on somebody who's vulnerable. They're frightened. They're on shaky ground because widowhood does not come with a set of instructions. Any more than children do. And the widowed is listening to this judgment. And for whatever reason, we're taking that as gospel. They're saying something, and we take that to be the gospel, but we aren't feeling that way, or we aren't agreeing with them, and we think that there's something wrong with us. It would break your heart if you knew how many letters I receive that start with the words, "What's wrong with me?" Or, "Is it appropriate to?" Or, "When can I?" It would break your heart. And at the heart of those letters, what people are saying is, Carol, I really want to do this. I want to date again. I want to change careers. I want to sell my house. I want to stay in my house. They're looking for validation. They're looking for reinforcement that what they want to do is okay. And instead they're being met with, well, Lainey, do you really think that's appropriate? It's awfully soon. Or, you know, Kashiana, it's been, 4 years. Get a move on. You know, and you think that there's something wrong with you. As long as you are not choosing to cope in a destructive manner, quick sidebar, it's more than just the abuse of alcohol or drugs that are not supervised by a doctor. It also includes things like compulsive behavior. Compulsive shopping, compulsive gambling, compulsive sexual behavior that would be deemed unsafe. It could be something like emotional or physical self-harm, which can result in things like eating disorders or cutting, self-mutilation. As long as you are not coping in a destructive manner that would harm you or others, what you choose to do and when you choose to do it is absolutely A-okay. You've got
Amen.
To learn. You have to learn to turn a deaf ear to the naysayers. Because here's what, okay? They are using their timeline to dictate what's right for you. They are dictating what they would do, as if they would know, onto you. Why are you embracing someone else's timeline? You're not living their life, nor are they living yours.
That's why it's such an incredible sisterhood you've created.
well, and I thank you for that. But when widows ask me, well, Carol, how long was it before you started dating again? I'll say, I started dating, it was just shy of 2 years after Mike's death. And I will quickly follow that with, that was the right time for me.
Mm-hmm.
Some widows start sooner. Others wait even longer. It was the right timeline for me. What I did for me, and for our daughter, was right for us, or for me as a woman, as a widow, trying to find her way in a new world. That is the absolute crux of judgment, and people are going to cast it. I wish I could stop it. All I can do is educate.
I think that one of the things that I would have probably done differently is had given myself just some space to grieve, because I'm finding that through, it's 11 years now, and, I'll still, just sit down and cry, because there was not this period of time because I was in action mode, you know, just, okay, I've got two children. I have this beautiful home. I have a $5,000 mortgage. I've just left the corporate world. I made all these changes. And had I just stopped and really listened deeper within, I think then the voices of the outside people of judgment would not have affected me at all. And so I think that would be the only thing that I would have done differently, is just to be still and be quiet and go inward. And
that's an incredibly important message, listeners, that Kashiana just taught you, whether she realizes it or not. That is a hugely important message. Grief that is avoided for whatever reason, and busyness is one of the top reasons, grief that is avoided will come back to bite you.
Mm-hmm.
It will come back around. You cannot avoid grief. It is not like driving around a pothole. You really do have to go through it. Our goal is to bring you through it healthy and whole and eventually happy. But there's no such thing as instant happy. This isn't ramen noodles in the microwave for 3 minutes. You have to go through this process because it will come back around to bite you. Now, does that mean that crying after 11 years or almost 15 years in my case is wrong? Absolutely not. Kashiana and I both shared that it's absolutely okay to cry when and if you need to. And I also want to make it clear that in sharing what did work for me, it doesn't mean that I didn't make mistakes. I could have named my books Don't Let This Happen to You, because I did absolutely make mistakes along the way. But I have learned from those mistakes, and I do try and educate other widows on what not to do to make your life more difficult.
Well, this is a perfect segue. So in speaking of your book, let's talk about your new book, When Bad Things Happen to Good Women, Advice, Encouragement, and Expert Suggestions for Getting You or Someone You Love Through the Toughest Times. And you can get that on Amazon.com. Let's talk about this Survivor's Toolkit, Carol.
I am super excited about this book because I'm still in my lane. We're obviously still talking about widowhood because that's the world from where I come, but the lane got wider and the car got bigger. We are talking about all different manner of loss and life challenge, things like losing a home, either to a disaster or to financial challenge, losing a job or a business, losing financial security. We talk about betrayal, infidelity, a hidden life, betrayal discovered after death. We talk about catfishing as it relates to online scammers, which, you know, is very, very topical discussion. Broken engagements, divorce, serious illness, terminal illness, serious injury. We even talk about losing a pet. We talk about surviving domestic violence, abusive relationships, child molestation, sexual assault, just about any challenge that you can think of that women are having to deal with while juggling the challenge of raising a family and, you know, making a household and bringing home the bacon. And over 40 women contributed their stories of challenge, of, in some cases, life-threatening situations, and their ultimate triumph over tragedy. And in the book is also not just stories, but how to get through the situation if you find yourself in it. And you're going to hear stories from people who walk the walk. But also, if you're in support of somebody who has lost a spouse, survived domestic violence, suffered a broken engagement, how do you support that person? We have do's, and boy, oh boy, do we have don'ts as to how to help somebody in this situation. I am so excited to bring this book to the marketplace.
Oh, my God. You have me. Akashi and I are like speechless, and we could talk all day long. That sounds incredible. And I think, again, you are providing a platform for people to feel connected to one another, that they're not alone with whatever trauma or drama or whatever's happening in our life, and how people can be inspired for watching how other people overcame those odds.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. That's our goal.
Lainey, I just want to say, when you said the word drama, what I've been seeing is that drama becomes the Dharma. You know, it's like that shift in consciousness so that we see the brilliance of the drama or the trauma as we go through this process of, you know, our higher states of consciousness. So I just love that when you use that word.
Thank you, Kashyana. We actually only have 2 minutes left. I felt like we just started here, and I think we're going to have to do more shows on some of these micro topics. Carol, any last words of wisdom that we can share with our listening audience that's global today?
If I could just say one thing, it would be that yesterday is a wall. And if you keep trying to retrieve yesterday, all you're going to be doing is running up into that wall. And you're going to wind up with a big headache. And yesterday, it's always going to be there. That wall follows you. You can lean on it, but you can't go back to it. Tomorrow is a window waiting to be opened. Open that window. Let the light in. And always remember, you can honor your past. You can treasure your past. You can and you should love your past. But you are not destined to live in your past. Grief and sorrow and darkness is a destiny that you didn't choose. Choose life, choose light, and we will be there to help you every step of the way.
So it is. Kashyana, any last minute moments of tidbits from your wisdom?
Yeah, I'm just present to this moment, you know, in time that we are here to express ourselves in our highest light, and all these issues, problems, things, they're all part of our gift that we bring forward. So bring it on. Like, bring it on beautifully and gracefully, and live your life in your truest fashion. Thank you so much.
Thank you both so much for being here. Again, we'll have all the information on how to reach these ladies. Carol Brody Fleet's new book, When Bad Things Happen to Good Women, is on Amazon.com. She has a Facebook page and a website, Widows Wear Stilettos. You can find out more about Kashyana as well at Facebook.com, Your Sacred Exploration. I am your host, Lainey Savante Quirk, and on behalf of the whole Zeta Global team, which is part of the ZetaGlobalGroup.com worldwide network of spiritual advisors and management. We're so grateful that we have this platform for all of you to share story with us. We're one of this unique, what's unique about us is that we share openly with complete transparency, because we know that to come into one accord, we have to share as equals. There is no separation. So again, Carol and Kashyana, thank you for bringing your wisdom and your authenticity today. We're so grateful, and we look forward to seeing many, many opportunities to connect again and to share and watch your journey as you go forward and providing good work in the world. So thank you both. You are listening to Lainey Savante Quirk here with Howard Wolkin at the Lab Recording Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Have a terrific rest of your weekend, and God bless.